Como estas?
How y'all doing? You know he speaks that Spanglish too.
My English.
What's up, people? Tribes people. I hope you guys are all doing well. I hope everybody's staying safe. You know, we took a little break because life happened.
It was needed, you know, summertime and that. Yeah. No hot boy summer this time, but you know.
It's been real chilly.
Semester boys.
Semester boys. All summer long, but yeah, man, we're back. Episode 7. I'm your co-host Ivan, here with the young money millionaire, young Ibrahima.
You know, Uncle E.
And yeah, today, man, we're just blessed to be back on the mic, speaking to you guys, and just, you know, doing what we do. And yeah, E, what are you saying? Have you been, bro?
Have I been what?
Have you been?
Well, they still haven't arrested Breonna Taylor's cops.
That's fact.
So. That's how I've been. But besides that, you know, I'm glad I finished my summer classes. So I'm taking a little break. And I've been watching this show called Rami.
Yo, Hulu. I finished it.
You finished
it? Yeah, both seasons.
It's great.
That show's fire. If you haven't watched Rami on Hulu, people.
Yeah, Rami on Hulu. Especially for my Muslim brothers and sisters. Millen, yeah. You know, y'all can probably relate to some of it.
What episode are you on?
I just finished season 1.
Season 2 gets crazy. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, the season 1 was crazy. Dude, Rami is wow.
And like, I really enjoyed his acting because he's so believable. It's like as if you're watching your friend.
Well, apparently it's based on his, like, a lot of the events are based on his life, so.
And that makes it even not
much
funnier.
It's a great show. Recommend, especially for us, you know, with either immigrant parents or, you know, just African living in America. It's a very relatable in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Recommend.
Rami on Hulu. Go peep that.
Hulu and relax.
You know what I mean? But today, yes, we bring an issue to the table. The matter where we settle, we get a special guest all the way from Cameroon.
Africa in miniature, right? That's what Kiki called it.
Africa in miniature, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because they get every type of, what is it? Vegetation?
As you can tell, both me and Ivan are huge fans of Cameroon. Actually, I think, you know, like, Cameroon is up there. I would say it's in my top 5 favorite African countries.
Samuel
based
Eto'o.
On Cameroonians I've met.
You know what I mean?
You know, definitely above Nigeria.
No comment. I don't want my Nigerian friends to flog me. But today, I mean, without further ado, I just want to introduce.
Yeah, you know, and as we introduce our guests, you know, Ivan, before I give you the honors, you know, like, we want to hear about our guest, where she's from, her heritage, you know, and we'll hear a little bit more about herself and, you know, introduce her so that our tribes people can know a little bit more about her before we get into this conversation.
No doubt.
Yes, sir.
But without further ado, by way of Silver Springs, Maryland, hailing from Cameroon, everybody, please put your hands together for Bella Monju.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
My name is Bella Annenbaum, or Bella, how everyone else calls me. Mm. And like Ivan said, I am from Silver Spring, Maryland. I was born and raised there. Both of my parents are Cameroonian. They're specifically from the Northwest, so the English-speaking side of Cameroon. I moved to Seattle when I was 16, and I've been going to college. I've been going to school here and working here ever since I moved from Maryland. Mm-hmm. And that's me.
Welcome.
We're
glad to have you.
I have to say, I am absolutely honored to be a guest in one of my favorite podcasts. Aww. So thank you guys.
We
thank
appreciate you, it. Thank and you. That's she jumped the gun to what I was going to say. Is Bella's been like one of our day ones.
Yeah.
You know, from the start. She's been supporting us and she keeps us, you know, it gives, believe it or not, these are, you know, it's people like Bella that gives us, you know, encouragement to keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you know me, I love a good podcast. So when I found out they were coming out with a podcast, I was so excited. And I just really support what you guys are doing here. And I love every single episode. Believe it or not, you guys have planted a lot of seeds in me as far as wanting to learn more about African history, political figures, and things like that. So I really appreciate you too, and just encourage you guys to just keep going.
Thank you
so much. We shall. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Kind words.
Thank you very much. So Bella, first thing I'm going to say though, how was that transition from, you know, Silver Springs, Maryland, where everybody around you is African? You know, Black, PG County, right?
Montgomery County.
Close enough to PG County. Mm-hmm. And then coming over to Seattle, where it's like...
It was rough. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. It was very rough for me. I moved here again when I was 16. So I was in high school. So just moving in high school in general was rough. And then moving to a predominantly Black area, to a predominantly white, very white high school. I was one of 10 Black people in the high school. It was a culture shock for me. The high school too was also racist. So that also, that... seeing that many or like dealing with racism, it was kind of like my very first time, like personally. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting. But I mean, I grew from it. I feel like it is good. I remember actually when I first met Ibrahima, or I actually remember meeting Ibrahima, was at your graduation party.
It was 2018.
Yes. Okay. And we had a conversation about the differences between HBCUs and PWIs.
I was telling her I went to a PWI.
Yes. And then we went to a PWI.
And you guys do.
Yes. And so it was nice to actually, I like it because I learned how, like, kind of what more so the real, like not the real world, but more of what the United States looks like. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like I was so sheltered in the, I really thought like everyone in, you know, the United States had like all the African stores and were around Black people and things like that. But then when I moved here, I was like, wow, this is, I have to learn how to speak, you know, to white people, how like, you know, to kind of act a little different, you know, to switch it up, to code switch, even though we shouldn't really code switch. But that was like my first encounter.
Yeah.
So I learned a lot.
We didn't know any better. And,
yeah.
And, you know, and if you can, I would like to at least to get a better understanding of, you know, you talked about moving, especially here, and having to deal with racism at a high school. Could you kind of at least, you know, give, if you don't mind sharing some of the experiences.
Some of my experiences?
You had.
My goodness. Okay.
I remember one when you emailed the teacher.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
Okay. Well, the first one that I will never forget this. I was walking from the bathroom back to class, and there was a group of white boys kind of at the side, just like staring at me. I would always get stares at in school. And I was just walking, minding my business, like, why are they staring at me? But I'm like, okay, whatever. Let me just mind my business. And then they yell out, "Hey, you, what's your name?" And like me, I'm thinking like, oh my God, they want to be my friend. They're wondering what my name is, because I was still very new at the school. And before I could even say, oh, my name is Bella, like, nice to meet you, they're like, oh, is your name a Sharkisha? Oh, and then they start laughing and like, you know, and oh my God, at that moment, I just wanted to like die and cry, because I just felt so embarrassed, because here my humble little heart was
little
like
a little bit
thinking,
of naive.
Yeah, naive, sense, you know? Right? Thinking that they wanted to be my friends. But I was like, even if my name was Sharkisha, why so is what? That funny? You know, so Fact. What? Like, it's just a name, you know?
Yeah.
And so I remember that. I remember, you know, they would like kind of joke about how, you know, there was a KKK chapter and Issaquah, and it just made me feel.
There's a KKK chapter in Issaquah.
Yeah, there used to be one. Yeah. I don't know if there is anymore.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah,
because
I don't go to Issaquah, so I don't.
Yeah, we did
for the hikes. Remember,
the hikes are in Issaquah.
Poopoo Point is Issaquah.
Poopoo Point is in Issaquah.
Oh, okay.
But it's okay. We went one
time. The scenery is beautiful.
It does look like some KKK members be there. You know, it looks like when Redneck County over there.
Exactly. It does. Exactly.
No, that's funny that you. I want to go back to a point you made earlier about you had to realize that it was like a whole different world.
Yeah,
is you could say the same exact thing for majority of white people is they don't know a whole nother world exists.
That is very true.
Which is like minority communities, right? They're probably the biggest extent of what they know is like a Chinatown in their downtown,
right?
But you know, they don't know about a Silver Springs, Maryland.
No, they don't.
If you put them in like Houston, Texas, or you know, some parts of Texas, they're really just like
feel like they're in another country.
Yeah,
you know?
that is very true.
Even if you put them in like Hilltop, Tacoma, or something, you know, it's like completely foreign to them. And so, the idea that like that type of world could exist to them is just so beyond them.
Yeah, that is very true.
They're just. All they can do is make fun of it.
Fun of it, yeah. You know? That is very true. And actually, I realized that same thinking, maybe my towards the end of my senior year of high school, right before I graduated. And then I kind of felt sorry for them. Like, I started to have a lot more grace for them and felt sorry for them. Like, they really are ignorant. They just don't know, which is so sad, you know? But hopefully, I mean, it's not my job to be teaching them, you know?
It's not your job, but, you know, you still, you know, there are a lot of, you know, it's always good to hear your story, even though, because a lot of Black girls in high school, middle school are in areas where, you know, it's mainly their minority.
Right,
you know? Maybe two or three that look like them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're facing those questions, stereotypes and stuff.
Yeah.
So you're not just going to school. You have to deal with a whole bunch of, you know, other added things. Stuff. Yeah, you know,
that's true.
You know.
But I'm going to say it's good on you, Bella, for, and just about every Black person I know that's been in this situation, for realizing their fault and then growing out of it and not compromising your Blackness for it.
Yeah.
Because if you flip the situations, I couldn't say that some of those people would do the same thing.
Others will, you know.
I agree.
Yeah. So
what would you call it?
What was it?
What would you call it, you know, in terms of not accepting, you know, not fully embracing your Blackness? You know, some people might dim their light a little bit because they, you know, and it could come out of intimidation. It could have of trying to fit in.
Yeah.
They can dim their light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's why I also didn't feel like I fit in.
Imposter syndrome, right?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that what they call it?
And like in the workplace, I've heard of
in the workplace.
People do
Well,
and they call it too, like in the workplace, people masking themselves.
Yeah, mask yourself.
You don't let people see who they truly you are. So you only show this exterior shell that makes people comfortable and they can kind of, you know, but that's not really who you are.
Right.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
That's why I really felt like I also didn't fit in with the Black kids. Mm-hmm. Like, I was hoping, you know, I'm like, there's 10 of us. Like, we guys should just all be friends.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were trying to, you know, fit in with the, you know, majority, which I understand.
Yeah.
And so I didn't really have a lot of friends in high school, but, you know, that's okay.
Hey, but let me say something. High school is very minimal, I feel like, in relevance of today.
Where am I now?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I
mean? Oh, yeah.
It's very minimal. And, like, those people who still think it is peaked in high school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If high school is your glory days, your glory days are in high school, fam.
Yeah.
Not a good look.
Yay.
It's come like when people bring up high school, I don't even want to talk about it.
You know, like, what's that, high fam? School.
You know?
I'm like, yeah, good memories, but I'm not going to be dwelling on high
school. No, I will not. Yeah. I was,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was the quarterback.
None of that.
Glory days. But I mean, that's what you say, you know?
Yeah.
It's all obsolete to me.
For sure.
And, you know, it's all about growth.
Yeah.
Always. That's, you know, that's where about growth. There.
Yeah.
At least everybody growing.
Mm-hmm.
And current events.
Current events.
Kamala Harris has just been.
So here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. And I've been seeing this a lot with Black people, right?
You said with Black people?
Yes.
Okay.
Online, at least, social media.
Uh-huh.
Talking a bunch of, like, you know, negative comments, thoughts about like, oh, this kid, she incarcerated more black men than ever, you know? Mm-hmm. So people, like, I don't know if, based on what I'm seeing, but it's almost as if most black people are angry that, you know, Kamala Harris is, and Joe Biden, they're horrible. And I'm just like, but what's the alternative? Trump?
Yeah, so there is none.
I'm feeling like a lot of black people are thinking that, you know, I'm so busy criticizing Joe Biden and even him selecting and criticizing Kamala Harris that we're forgetting, like, what are we dealing with like, the person who's in power?
Yeah.
It's shocking. Like, I'm just like, I can't believe these people, after 4 years, you know, we're still here talking, like, trying to find ways to criticize, you know, two people who are running that actually will somewhat at least show that, you know, they're not racist or gonna try and help, you know, the betterment not only of black people but for everyone.
Yeah.
I'm just shocked that, you know, like, people are, it's as if I'm just like, so what's the alternative? You're gonna vote for Trump?
Yeah.
I see it a different way. I see it as, no, that's not an alternative, voting for Trump. Like,
so don't vote?
No. You gotta vote. You gotta vote.
Okay, like, but you have two people to vote for.
Facts. No, yeah, you should vote Trump out, in my opinion, right? But I kind of see it as like people setting the energy from day one where it's like, look, Biden and Kamala, like, when you guys get into office, like, you need to stop playing the games, you know? Because, like, Harris has a track record of, she was a California state attorney?
She was attorney general, I think.
Yeah, prosecutor or something,
prosecutor,
right?
State prosecutor or something like that.
So how I see it is people basically saying, like, we're going to vote you in, but, like, you better change up that those policies and that energy from the jump or else you're out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because...
Or else you're out for who?
In 4 years, obviously.
For who?
You know what I mean? We go see you, whoever the... I don't know. That's another issue, the problem with this two-party system and this, you know, multicultural, like, melting pot. I do feel happy that a black woman has a chance to take, you know, that place of office.
Yeah.
And I think a lot more people should look at it in a more positive light. But I understand both sides of, like, the sentiment.
Mm-hmm. I'm even thinking, like, I have to, when was the last time I took U.S. government in high school? What is the vice, do they really even do anything? I mean, they kind of, I mean, it's nice, but I feel like people get in so angry. That is very true.
They have a good role.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Okay.
Usually not on the, you know, limelight of things. Yeah. So most people don't know what really the vice president does.
Yeah.
They're not on TV, they're not on the media.
In the background.
More in the background.
Behind the scenes.
I mean, and
but they're key. They are key. They are the second number two.
That is very true. Mm-hmm. That is very true.
As you think about it, you know, Biden sign happens.
Look, I'm saying Biden, you know, he a little bit older than that.
Has some blunders, bro.
But they all look so.
Yeah, that is facts.
You know, like, I'm not, you know, like I said, he said some horrible things.
Mm.
He's, you know, in terms of, you know, in his past, like, all of these politicians, if they've been in, you know, politics for a while, all of them have passed some messed up laws, especially has been against minorities. That's all in their past. But I'm looking at it like, yo, look at who we have right now on power and what they have put this country in. In right now.
Yeah.
We have a racist, a misogynist, you know? I can label all the adjectives for this guy, you know?
Uh-huh.
Not only what he's doing to America, but the impact he's having on the world, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, and this is the time now in 2016. Do people forget 2016? Do you remember the election when he won 2016, how we all felt?
Yeah, no,
that
for
was
sure.
My last semester of college, and I was just sitting there like shocked. Do people remember the pain they felt when this man came into power? And guess what? He exceeded our not so expectations in terms of, we thought like, this is gonna be bad, this guy came into power. and he became worse than we even could have imagined.
Yo, it's come like Americans aren't even respected around the world anymore.
They're not. I mean, I wouldn't. Who's going to respect America at this point?
It's like now you're the laughingstock of the world.
Yeah.
And that's not even to push like American supremacy. It's just like, look how far, you know, America has
dropped. Look at the levels.
Yeah.
You know, on the scale of the world. So, you know. Trumpito, man.
Guys, we need to
he'd probably be one of those dudes that was asking you, what's your name?
In high school, honestly.
Yeah, he's the guy like, hello, Shokisha, or something like that. You know?
Who just got parents with a lot of money, and he's going to be all right because, you know, they're generational wealth. You know what I mean?
You know, for real, we live in America for now, at least. And so, you know, we need to be extremely concerned who is, you know, the president, even though if it's, we might not be biggest fan of Joe Biden, you might not be the biggest, you know, personally, you know, I'm a Bernie fan.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I said, I know what the lesser of the two evils is. Someone who's going to at least somewhat show something progressive towards, you know, a society you want to live in right here. That's how I look at it. So I just, you know, I just be looking at, you know, sometimes people commenting, I'm just like, damn. Like, so you're talking like, I know people are very extreme online and stuff, but I'm just like, so you're going to vote for Trump based on what you're saying here? You're telling me, you're gonna, Kamala is horrible, blah, blah, blah. She's, you know, so I'm like, have you seen Donald Trump's record? We don't even seen this guy's tax returns yet. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? This guy got, you know, so anyway. It's as worse as you can get. He tried to get five young boys killed in Central Park 5.
Him
and his dad were, you know, got sued and were found guilty for redlining, preventing black people from buying homes.
And then it's, you know, shit like that where it's, that literally matters, because if black people can't get prime real estate, imagine how hard it is to build wealth.
That's wealth.
Right.
We can't. In all factions, we can't grow wealth in real estate. We can't grow wealth
loans,
in commerce,
banks, everything.
If banks are discriminating, you know, there's so much history to it.
Yeah.
And it's like, why would you put someone who is guilty of that back in office?
And ask the African, right? What did he call us?
Shithole countries.
Shithole countries.
He did call
imagine
us that.
Beautiful Cameroon with all that.
Come on.
He called us, you know,
desert, come mountain, every ocean, lake, all of that, and he's saying that's a shithole
countries. That's what he looks at Africa as. Like. So, you know, and of course, he's not the first racist U.S. president.
Facts. Yeah. But it's like,
you know,
you can't have a racist.
But this guy, you know, I you know, we weren't alive in those, you know, the Reagans and beyond and earlier, who, you know, we know what those presidents, how they felt, you know. But this is what we're facing now. We're dealing with our own.
Our future and whatnot.
Our own future. And this guy, you know, he's not even a covert racist. You know, he's, look at how he's racist towards calling it the Chinese virus.
Chinese virus.
You know?
The Mexicans are bringing.
The Mexicans.
Right. You feel me?
The Muslims.
Right. That's, you know?
Right. It's like. Shit whole countries.
Yeah, the whole, his whole immigration policy is just sideways.
That, the international student, that one got to me.
Boy.
Man, I have so many friends that are affected by that. You know? I just,
It's painful. So, you know, moral of the story, guys, we need to vote.
And
we need to vote this clown out of.
I'm looking at you with four eyes.
Yeah. Like, if you tell me, like, if you're telling me, oh, Biden, stop talking shit about Biden, and you're not going to go vote. I just, you know, I'm looking at you as an ignorant person.
That's true.
It's like people who don't, you know, who are believing all these COVID conspiracies. That, what did Trump say that can cure COVID? Anyway,
he said just drink a little bit of disinfectant.
You know, he said like injecting what, hand sanitizer, you know, sanitizer or
something like that.
Bro. So you know, we're in this information age with a lot of fake news.
That respect for office is just dwindling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Bella,
yes,
African men don't cheat. How you feel about that statement?
Here we go.
Oh my god.
Wait, can you repeat it again, Ivan? I didn't hear it.
African men do not. Cheat.
African men do not cheat.
I honestly, when you came to me with this topic, I laughed. And I also felt.
Are we a laughing stock?
Do we like jokers?
No, but I felt like that was a low key, a little, that was disrespectful.
Wow.
I feel like.
Towards disclaimer, minus Nigerians.
This guy.
No, you have to throw.
No, I'm just joking. That's a joke. It's just a joke.
You have to throw all of them.
It's all of us African men.
Yeah. You have to throw all of them in there. I just feel like that. I mean, well, it first came from Black Men Don't Cheat, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm thinking about, like, even when that came out, I was like, okay, like, what is the goal? I mean, what, as far as African men don't cheat, let me throw it back on you. Mm-hmm. What is, like, is it, like, encouraging other? Because we know that African men cheat. We know all men cheat, mm-hmm. you know? That
so they do have women, that, too.
Okay, but we're talking about men right now. Did you not say African men don't cheat?
I'm just clearing it out. Yes. I'm just throwing it out there, too. No,
okay. Yes, there is. I mean, anyone is
everybody
capable
cheats, but,
of,
you know. Mm-hmm.
Not everyone cheats. No, like, I don't
all genders.
That.
All people. Like, all genders.
No, anyone's genders. Capable of cheating. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, what is your goal in saying African men don't cheat? So I know where to take, where to get my
the goal argument. Is the message, what it says.
Are you encouraging other men not to cheat? Or are you just saying that?
Jimmy, be honest.
Yeah.
I think it came about as a rebuttal.
Okay.
Yes. You know,
that's how it came about.
As a rebuttal. Okay.
It was kind of at a time where, like, a lot of Black men were getting chastised for, yes. like, mm-hmm. alternative behaviors. I call them alternative behaviors.
Okay.
But it came about as, like, a rebuttal.
Were you being chastised or were you being held accountable? Or were these men
me?
Being held accountable? No, you're talking about...
Let's
what?
Talk oh, right now on like, behalf of, you know, like...
Yeah.
She was talking about me. I was like,
No.
Were these men being held accountable in regards to their actions?
You know, one thing actually that sparked this was Insecure.
Okay.
So the whole Lawrence and Issa thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Not season 3 and 4 because that's kind of irrelevant. But
I don't watch it anymore. But go ahead.
Yeah, I don't watch it anymore either.
Oh, this last season was so good.
Nah, you see, season three killed it.
It became a chick flick. But yeah, go ahead.
Season 3 went down the drain. It was hard for me to get back into
Same.
It. Season
okay.
4.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the whole thing about like Lawrence, you know what I mean? Are you Team Lawrence or Team Issa?
Oh Lord!
Before the
I seasons. Am definitely not Team Issa cheating. I'm definitely not.
Mm.
I do not agree with what she did.
What's the but
at all? I would say I'm Team Lawrence in that Issa was wrong.
Okay,
for sure. But I feel like again, like I'm the type of person that likes to play devil's advocate. I don't like to go with the crowd. Everyone's Team Lawrence. I'm like, okay, like. Let me be Team Issa Small. You know, just to play devil's advocate, I do feel like both, even if you have to see the last season. Because they come, no, you have to watch the last season before we can eat. I feel like this conversation is
then don't use Insecure irrelevant. Ivan as a reference.
But, I mean, it came from this African
that's
man
when it,
who
like,
cheat.
That's where it picked up anyways.
Right. But where did
didn't
Black
know,
Men...
Is it from Insecure? I think Insecure...
I thought it was from Black Men Don't Cheat.
It can
no, yeah, but around that time is when Black Men Don't Cheat
time,
came up.
I thought it was around Tristan... What's his name?
Tristan Thompson. And
that was after Chloe Insecure.
And who else cheated? Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yes, there was that period, yeah, where
and
a lot of famous Black men...
Yeah.
You know, where
Jay-Z.
Where yes, we've been going through that. And, you know, it of course, it will slide over to our African society where, you know, a lot of our men could be deemed as not serious or cheaters as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So we're talking about, you know, why is this, you know, because like what Ivan said, especially I can speak for Africans and Black men, you know,
okay.
where we're just almost like labeled as we're the only group of males that are just cheaters and horrible guys. And we just, you know,
that's why,
like, it's as if like we're the only ones out here. And it's becoming now they're casting judgment on us before we even, you know.
Yeah. It came up really as a rebuttal for that. What you just said.
So that's what we're saying.
Because it was like, yo,
no, African men do not cheat. Black men do not cheat.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's like saying, yeah.
Like, you know, we know that it happens, but, like, but why is it that a Black man is the first man to get labeled in that way?
Yes.
That a Black man is?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I only really date Black men.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what's going on with Asians, you know.
But we're not even,
I don't know. We're not
South
even,
Americans.
We're not talking about them.
We're just saying, like, right now.
Okay.
And even these last few years. the black man being deemed as a cheater, with this black man cheat, you know, it's almost creating an image. It's creating a negative image for us black men.
I mean, you see it in entertainment,
that we're just cheaters.
Well, I mean, even if you look at, okay, if we're talking about African men, if you look at like majority of Nollywood films, or even if you're looking at, you're listening to some of DeVito's songs, and he has a lot of lyrics that are just like,
have you listened a little, to, but we listen to trap music, we listen to rap, we listen to, you know, you listen to any, I'm so country music guy, so I'm cheating ass lyrics, you know?
But that's generally what I listen to. I don't know what's going on in even with, even like, even growing up, I told my friend this story. Growing up, I was told to stay away from Nigerian men.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you talked about it. And, you know, they were just...
It's a joke. That's really not a joke.
Right. Since I was a kid, you know, stay away from Nigerian men.
Why?
And I didn't know why, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I heard that they're demons. This is where the Yoruba demons come on. They have, you know, they have a wife and a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Or that they're known for cheating. Or they'll cheat on you. They'll lie to you. And so I grew up always.
Did you believe it at one point?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're told something, it's like you're teaching a child something. Ingrained. Ever since I was young, this is what I remember. So I've kind of stayed away from Nigerian men for the longest time. Literally, Ivan can attest to this.
Nigerian gotta go.
No,
Nigerian
Ivan,
and Congolese too. Oh, but let me be quiet.
Oh, Congolese.
If someone comes up to me and I'm like, and we're talking, chatting, everything, bantering, and then I'm like, oh, where are you from? And then, or they'll say their name and I'll know, but to confirm, like, where are you from? They're like, oh, I'm Nigerian. I'll just walk away.
Bro, because do you know Bella is the queen of curving?
I need to see this in action. And
she will dead look at you or not look at you like you're not even standing there.
Damn.
I watched her curve this dude at Redland.
Jeez.
We're standing in line. Like, it was after the Easy concert. Right?
Oh, my God.
So we're in that, like, this huddle where you can't move.
Yeah, yeah.
And Breda comes up trying to talk to her nice, right?
Was it a Nigerian guy?
Was he?
I don't know. Maybe.
It might have been. But, you know, he was talking crazy. I've never seen someone look so unbothered in my life, bro.
It's as if the guy didn't even exist.
No, it was nothing standing next to her.
She hit the mute button on her. It's like some Black Mirror
shit.
And
I was like, I want to strive for that type of unbotheredness in my life.
I don't know why I learned that behavior.
That's good, though. I like it. You know, that's how
I was like, yo, that right there is the energy that...
I
feel like after... Honestly, being a Black woman is ooh. Child, let me tell you, like, you'll just be walking down the street and someone's cat, you have to learn to just ignore, like, you just, you know, not
you
let it
go
like
through it.
Get to you.
That's facts.
Yeah, but anyways, back to Nigerian men.
Yeah, Nigerian.
So I would stay away. It's not until Ivan actually sat me down one time and said, you cannot generalize a whole country of men, you know? And so, and then that's when I started to, like, I'm like, okay, where is this coming from, right? Because we have to go back to, okay, cheating, right? So at least for me, right? I mean, well, for all of us, the first kind of union we see is usually our parents. So now I don't know if you guys are comfortable to talk about this, but like for me, you know, my dad cheated on my mom, you know? And so it's like, he's an African man.
Mm-hmm.
And then also a lot of the, you know, my uncles and aunties, I was also seeing like that
infidelity in
relationships and marriage. And so I really like, it's like, if you're seeing that, you're starting to kind of believe it as well. I don't know. I don't want to speak for other women, but that's kind of where I don't agree and where I feel like it's so disrespectful to say that, because I feel like you saying African men don't cheat, it's like, you're kind of not really holding your brothers. Cause I know you both know an African man that has cheated,
you know,
or is cheating right now.
You know, me?
You know?
Rings a bell.
Have either of you ever cheated?
What do you mean cheated?
What does that mean?
Wow. Come and see something.
What does that word mean?
Come and see something.
What do you mean cheated?
Now, here's what I'll say, right?
Okay.
Is I completely understand your take on that.
Yeah.
Because that's
same.
What you know.
Right.
However, I think where the difference starts is like when those are two different generations, right?
Okay.
Where my grandfather had three, four
multiple wives,
you know?
Same okay. Here.
And
I feel like it's in the culture. Yeah. Like,
But that's like a very like patriarchy type based.
Is it still not like that culture? Today?
Not would in you, our generation.
Would you say it exists as much in our generation?
Polygamy.
You know, I don't know a lot of married couples, unfortunately.
Okay, how about this? Would you...
couples.
You don't know a lot of married couples?
Well, even just couples in... they don't even have to be married. I'm trying to think. I know some, and I've heard... Actually, I heard more of African men being cheated on. More guys being cheated on. But no.
But all right, Evan, transition.
Uh-huh. We arrest our case.
Yes. No. The case is still... Because I will not go around saying, that's not a popular statement to say is African women don't... I won't go around saying that because I know that there is some African women don't cheat. I just feel like you saying that is very irresponsible. And I feel like maybe, okay, if you're saying that to encourage men to stay focused, to not cheat, and that's your whole MO, then okay, I'm here for it. But I feel like if you're just saying that to just kind of say, well, you know, African men don't cheat, and it's just like kind of brushing you guys' behaviors under the rug, then I don't agree with it.
We're not brushing our behaviors under the rug. We're just saying that there is an attack going on against us right now.
Do you guys feel attacked?
Yes.
I don't personally feel attacked, no.
Okay.
Speak for yourself. Speak for yourself. Personally, I just say, just the vibe and the energy that's built around us. Well, I can speak for myself what I feel, you know, as black man, as an African man, is we're cheaters. We are not, we're going to, we ain't shit. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's shown on TV, it's shown online, it's showing in person, wherever we go. I feel like once even you find the one African man who cheated, it's 10 times taken out of proportion or displayed versus if, a woman, African woman or black girl cheated. It's just like crickets. That's how I feel. So explain to me, if you can, if you feel like I'm being biased, or I'm being one-sided, but that's how I feel. I feel like when it's us, I'm saying it happens on both sides, but when as African man, when you find the one guy who cheated, and it's just like, man, it's just like all over the place. Mm-hmm. But when the woman cheats, it's like, I'm like, where y'all at? Where's the energy?
Imagine. I feel like, okay.
That's how I feel.
No, I disagree with that because I feel like that energy is still there. Because when Issa cheated, and we all saw that on TV, Team Lawrence came out, shirts, emojis, a whole fan club,
But that's
attacks on Issa. Attacks. So I feel
notice it was never generalized.
Yes, that's the difference.
But generalization. If Lawrence had done it, niggas ain't shit.
But people were outraged. People were outraged, but when it's us, it's like same old shit. There they go again. This is what they do.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say this, right?
Okay.
I'm gonna say this. So I think women are a lot better at hiding it.
Of course.
Oh. Because you guys are fools now.
It could be, or maybe, I would not name call anyone.
Too much PlayStation.
But maybe we could be fools. But I think that women are just a lot better at hiding things like that. And then.
Define cheating. Are you mean like physical cheating or emotional cheating?
Yeah, cheating is whatever the couple is and once feel like they have cheated, have betrayed them or,
that's
cheating. A breach of trust.
Breach of trust, exactly.
I think that women are a lot better at hiding it. And men just sometimes we get caught in like our own world where we don't even think about
it. We don't, yeah. It's
like...
Is it called an impulse or not? Yeah. Not premeditated.
Because I've heard from multiple women, right?
Okay.
When a woman cheats,
they've planned it.
not only have they planned it, but they're driven for a reason, right?
Wow. It's like motivation?
No, not motivation, but like it's been like multiple things getting them to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like they might feel like they've been neglected for way too long. Yeah. Now it's like, all right,
well, just like how Issa felt.
Exactly. You're not, you know, satisfying me anymore. Like, I'm out. Or I'm going to just step out for a hot second.
Right.
With men, I feel like it's a lot more impulsive.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a testament to us not being raised to kind of have those moments of self-control, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's problematic.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that majority of the men that, like, I have heard of cheating, you know what I mean? Because all my boys at Saints.
All of us.
You know, all the men.
Every single one of them.
No comments. Now, what I will say is when they have came and talked to me, I'm like, why'd you do it? I don't
know. Caught up in a moment. It just happened. You know, I didn't really, you know.
That's you fell into.
You know, it just happened, you know, and that's, you know, yeah.
So.
I feel like the same thing can happen for women, too.
You think so?
Yeah.
Do you think that's in
the majority? It doesn't always have to be planned.
Do you think that's in the majority?
No, I don't. At least in the women that I've heard.
I also feel like women are more, like, superior when it comes to dealing or just knowing themselves and being more in tune with their emotions.
Way more.
You know?
Way more.
So, like, the idea
that... Why is that? Because, again, I just feel like it goes back to the family and how you're raised and what you're seeing.
Facts. No, for sure.
Well, then you take it back to generations, right? Where, you know, the woman, you know, almost had all the burden of, you know, that the dad never provided, like, that emotional support, that, you know, that vulnerability. You never saw it from your dad. It was only through your mother's, you know?
Yeah.
So a woman has taken the role of, you know, both the mom and the dad, not a pass on now. So the son, who's going to show that son, you know, that to show that vulnerability, you know, that, you know, emotional complex, you know, that.
And it's like, even in the wild, they don't follow the lion.
Yeah.
They follow the lioness.
Yep.
The cubs.
Yep.
You get what I'm saying? So I don't think that it, I mean, that's just, it is what it is. You know what I mean? So. When people say African men cheat, right, or just are known for being cheaters.
Yeah.
You know, I feel two ways about it. For me, it's like, well, I'm an African man, but I also don't have time for, like, what you think about me. So for me, it's a lot of, like, energy protecting, where it's like.
I like that.
Okay, cool, like. I still gotta go
get
this money.
But I feel like it's
money.
Also a call to your brothers.
It is too, right? Where it's like, there are men them out there who are being nonsense.
Wild,
guys.
Yeah.
For sure.
I can name a couple.
Hey, and you should too. You know what I mean?
We should not be, you know. How is someone gonna be better if you're just gonna be calling
them? Right.
No, I'm not saying call
is
them
that
out here. I'm just saying, like, call them out to themselves. You know what I mean? But, I think that there has to be a lot of, like, teaching going on.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, a lot of men, them, we've been taught things that are backwards.
I feel like a lot of African men, too, you guys are raised different.
Elaborate.
Well, I don't want to generalize again, but lot of you guys have been raised different. Like, as far as, like,
you
the
mean
woman.
In the home?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Even like we're like even I don't want to be start to go into this whole feminist thing, but I really do feel like a lot of us were raised like even just thinking like, okay, you have the job, you know, you have this degree, but you're not married. It's like we're raised to like, okay, where is your husband? Where is your husband you to death? You know, or like, what about your husband? Or, you know, you won't look attractive if, you know, you're making all this money and da da da. You know, I've heard all of these things personally.
I agree with it.
And so it's like, and I feel like you guys are kind of just, you know, you guys aren't really, even I've even heard from some.
We don't face that pressure most of the time.
Yeah, no, you're not. I've even heard some African women even say that they're like, men aren't even expected to like be faithful. Like that's not even because of like this generational. And I really do feel like because we do have to start back to like, okay, yeah, our grandparents.
You have to,
because they pass those traits, those things, like they do pass on. And so it's up to you, Ivan. Okay, Ivan's like, I don't want to continue that cycle. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be different. I want to live in a home. It's just me and my wife, me and my kids, show my son. Okay, this is how you're supposed to treat a woman. This is what a good man is. This is how a man is supposed to stay focused, committed, and all these traits and things like that. And so that's just kind of how I feel about the whole situation.
I tend to see that like a lot more than you would think.
Yeah. You think now? You think now it's better?
Yeah.
I feel like you're saying that. I don't know. Because I hear in Maryland, you know, in more...
I can't speak for Maryland.
I have a question though for Bella even regarding that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You talked about being a role model.
Okay.
You know, being, doing all of that, you know, being, you know, showing, being great to their wife and everything.
Yeah.
Same thing. I've seen a lot of that. But, you know, like I said, what Ivan said, guys or, you know, women, you know, things can happen and they get caught up in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then they cheat.
Right.
So for you, how what would you feel about that? If someone's been great father, great to their wife and everything... African mind, but then you know he cheats. So now does that, you know? How do you?
Does
it take away all the everything that they've done? Because life is complex.
Yeah,
life is very complex.
Yeah.
So you know.
Shoot, I was gonna call Insecure, but you guys haven't seen season 4. But yeah, I agree. I hear what you're saying, and this is something I've struggled with too. Because, you know, I really like that one Bible verse, 1 Corinthians, I think it's 13:11. You know, when you're a child, you think like a child, you reason like a child. But when you become a man, you put behind your childish ways.
Mm.
But what if, like, I've even heard of pastors, you know, like, or like people that are supposed to be living and then they cheat on their wife.
Mm-hmm. They be the worst.
But it's like, I feel like they fell into that. I don't know, just think. And I feel like it should... Man, this is something I really struggle with and think about all the time. Because mistakes do happen.
Yeah.
But a mistake like physically...
But still, Bella,
Do you think that because so much is expected of the African man, right?
Okay. What is expected then, of you guys to provide?
Oh. Well, yeah. I mean, in the sense of like family.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's like mm-hmm. you're supposed to be providing.
Head of the household.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah, there is a lot of...
You know
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
Do you think that because one or two or three, I don't know how many mistakes can like... Do you think that because they're held to such a high standard,
mm-hmm.
when they drop the ball, then they're just automatically just painted as like...
Canceled. Mm-hmm. Gotta go.
Like some kind of wasteland?
That cancel culture.
Cancel Ooh. Culture.
Man, I really want to say... Okay, how... I think of how I'm growing into as the woman as I am. I really feel like, no, you shouldn't let these things define you. You can always grow from it. I feel like even with just thinking about back to the Jay-Z and Beyonce thing, I started listening to this podcast. I think it's called Dissect, and it was dissecting Beyonce's Lemonade. And it was talking about how like Jay-Z had to go kind of to therapy. I just feel like there's some that you can recover from it. Like you can't just be down for the rest of your life because you cheated, and you know it's gonna be hard.
Jay-Z went to therapy for cheating?
Yeah. Well, not for cheating, but like he had to go to therapy to kind of like pick, like, you know, do whatever mental health thing
somewhere,
or whatever.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
At least that's what they talked about in the podcast.
But yeah, think about it though, Bella. You know, and like I said, this is where. I'm always, because I can only speak from a man perspective and be a little bit more biased.
Okay.
But, you know, I really don't, you know, like someone like Jay-Z or a guy who's been a good father figure,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not saying they should go cheat or anything, but,
mm-hmm.
I think it's sometimes a bit harsh if they lose everything,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
know, especially off of one first mistake, they lose everything, their wife and the kids and... People outside come and cast judgment and create so much cloud and so much energy. And mm-hmm. the people, it doesn't have to be a famous person. It could be, you know...
The regular Joe.
The regular Joe, the wife's family or friends, you know, just, you know, all of a sudden, you know.
But
just,
there has to be a consequence. Can't.
I'm not saying go off scotch free. Yeah. I just don't like it when everything that, you know, like it could be years of a relationship, of a marriage, that, you know, that's just poof, gone.
Just gone.
Then that's like saying we're supposed to be all perfect. Yeah. What happened We're not. And, you know, so that's why I never think there's a perfect couple. Yeah. I don't believe in that.
That shit about like.
But that's goals? What they. That's what they showed up.
Oh yeah, it's Will and Jay.
You see, Will and Jay.
Oh my day.
Oh my gosh, that one.
But how many songs? I want Will and Jada.
Yeah. I want that Will and Sierra. Jada.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Now everybody looking stupid.
You see, so there is. I don't believe in it. I genuinely don't believe it. There is no perfect couple. There is no perfect marriage.
No, there's not. That is so true.
You know. Jay-Z got a whole album made about him cheating. So.
Yeah.
That is so true.
I thought, on the flip side, I thought it was.
Should we talk about the Will and Jada?
Yeah.
Did you see the whole video?
So, what's your take on it, Bella?
Man, I mean, I watched it and I thought, this is why you cannot be having relationship goals. Because I did think of that one J. Mm-hmm. Cole lyric. I want that Will and Jada love. Mm-hmm. Yes. Man, Will, I feel so bad for him. He looked so sad in that whole video.
He looked distraught.
Yeah. And then Jada.
I'm not laughing at him. The memes are killing me.
Yeah, the memes were hilarious that came from that. But just Jada, she's very interesting. And I don't know the whole backstory. I only know this little.
We don't know the full story.
Will could be just as bad. We don't know.
That's true.
Probably.
But that whole entanglement, how she explained it. And then it left me with a lot of questions about her and August's relationship, because at least the way she described it, it seemed like August was kind of coming to her for, you know.
Like a safe place.
Like, yeah, when she just kept saying, yeah, very vulnerable, very sick. How did it go from that to...
Sounds like she's a predator to me.
I think she was very irresponsible of her.
Yeah.
To do so at a time like that.
It was selfish of her.
Yeah.
Where it was like, all right, me and Will aren't working out. Here's this young buck. Like, she's like 20-something years older than me. Yeah,
she kind of used
that. That's the worst thing that...
Yeah. He's struggling with addiction, all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, uses him. And then Will's like, yo, I'm back. And then, oh, see you, August. You know what I mean? Like, that probably crushed him.
Yeah.
I don't also like that August, at the end of all of this, came for Kiki Palmer. Like, Kiki Palmer had anything to do with that.
Oh, I did see that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, your anger
is hurt. When your ego is hurt.
It's pointed towards the wrong.
Men, when you damage their egos like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and his anger was pointed at the wrong place.
Yeah, wrong place. So it's complex, though, what we're saying, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, no one, I think on both sides, what happened to Will, that's my worst nightmare, you know?
Yeah.
That's my worst nightmare. Your wife tell you they were in an entanglement, you know? Dude. And I'm sure with a woman, too, like, you know, when you see, like, the African guy or any guy, you know, cheats on you, that's the worst thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is now, you know, like, we should not, it should be accountability from both sides.
Mm-hmm. That is both the sides. Word. Mm-hmm.
We cannot say, oh, it's only the guys. Yeah. Let's just focus on the guys. This is how they are when they cheat. Let's just, you know, let's go all the shade room for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then we just let women can go and be in their entanglements.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no
accountability. Women can be in their entanglements.
You know, I'm just saying. So,
they were separated.
You know? And it's like, you see what I'm saying?
That's what was...
Okay, we don't know the details, but I'm saying, you know, still, you saw Will's face. Will's face told us everything, how he felt when they were separated.
He went from, like, 50 years old or however old he is to, like, 70 with those facial expressions.
I think a
12-year-old will know what that facial expression is.
Yeah.
You know, like, you saw it.
I felt bad for him.
Yeah. All the men started coming out, protect yourself, kings. Know your worth, kings.
It's facts, though. That's how we feel. Yes.
It's facts because, like... You can really be just doing your part and get played like a damn piano.
Thank you. You know, and to add to your point, Ivan, right, Bella? Okay. I know, sorry, we don't want to ambush you. Okay, I feel like we're just two against
you. No, it's not at all. This is great conversation.
But I just want to, you know, share too, you know, like for me, like same thing, you know, I see when women, like when their friends their girlfriend, like their, you know, their really good friend,
yeah,
their man or husband cheats, you know, you see how hurt they get. And, you know, like as you see women, they'll go above and beyond. They'll be so angry. You know, it's as if like the man cheated on them too. We feel like us guys, we might not have different ways to express it, but like if my really like my boy, like my like someone I really care for as a guy, you know,
yeah,
be a brother, like as a brother to me, a really good friend,
uh-huh,
is in a relationship and the girl cheats on them, like that shit hurts too.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts me equally.
Yeah.
Like we might as not it express should. It, you know, different ways.
Yeah.
But that shit hurt. That's like to me, that's the worst thing I could want to
say. Right. Never look at you the same.
So I'll never look, right, you know. Yeah. If I ever went out, I saw my boy with his girls with another, I'm calling him ASAP. It's like that TV saying, you know? I'm snitching ASAP. I'm telling him, yo,
see,
I'm upset.
You guys be so talking.
Do not think that,
shut him.
I'm on the line, like, yo.
That's what
boy.
I'm saying. Like it. Trust me, we might,
yeah,
you
know, we
have different ways,
chest, yeah,
but yeah, we are equally, that's how we feel, equally,
yeah, as you
but
should.
We don't see it, that's what I'm saying, so
yeah,
just because we're not out there, like, you know, we're not creating narrative, like, yo, you know, this is how we are, if we find our boy or our friend or anything, if they, you know, felt cheated on, we're gonna react this way, but trust me, like, if we take it, I feel like, you know, it's in the same way,
I agree,
just different expressions.
I still do feel like African men do, everyone is capable of cheating.
Mm-hmm.
I hate generalizations. I do.
What, okay, what would you say for us African guys, right, to live by, or to a model that we should try and keep up to not, to truly, you know, live up to our name of African men don't cheat?
Okay.
And really, like, change that narrative, too.
And change the narrative.
And change
the
narrative.
Yeah.
Okay, I will first... Oh, my gosh. My answer is about to be really long, so just bear with me.
Go ahead.
I would definitely first say, like, I kind of took a break for a while from relationships because I realized that I lacked a lot of skills, like communication skills.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of first started there and learning how to communicate. And then I learned later on that I did not love myself fully.
Ooh, okay.
Yes. So I would definitely say first is loving yourself, learning to really love yourself, which I feel like a lot of like men are doing now, self-love, self-care, you know, take care of yourself, king, self-care Sunday or whatever. I love to see it because we should really learn how to love ourselves. And if you're spiritual, if you... you know, loving, you know, God or whoever you believe in, I think is a good step. But learning to love yourself. And then I would say definitely going to therapy. I think everyone should be seeing a therapist or doing some type of self-care or working on your mental health as well. Because I feel like we always look at the physical and we don't really think of how we're doing emotionally and mentally. I would say start there. Start learning about your family. Noticing different traits about yourself and holding yourself accountable. I love the word accountable. I'm about to turn actually 24 next week, Wednesday.
Woo-hoo!
7 days is my birthday.
Let's go.
And I really told myself, I think my word for 24 will be accountability.
Kobe year.
And I think, yes, Kobe year. And I think it's something, even when we talk about African men don't cheat, I'm like, okay, are you holding your friends accountable?
Mm-hmm.
Even when what happened with, oh my gosh, I don't want to mess up her name. I think Oluwa Toyin Salu.
Yeah.
I think it was a wake up call for, I saw a lot of men coming out, you know.
Yeah, that was such a sad thing.
Yeah, that was such a sad thing. But I really like that the lesson learned, it was so sad that it took her death for a lot of guys to realize, like, okay, I need to start listening to Black women more. I need to figure out how can I stop these things to keep happening. And so I saw a lot of guys saying, you know, we need to start holding each other accountable, you know, in the group chat, these jokes aren't funny and things like that. Even I, you know, always applaud you and Ibrahima and being able, like, every time I always feel safe around you guys. Like, I know when I'm with you guys, I don't have to worry, you know what I'm saying? You guys know when I'm uncomfortable, you'll come up, say you good, you know, come up. Even I've seen Ibrahima, me And two of my friends, we always laugh because they always tell me a story about how you almost fought this guy at Red Lawn because they wouldn't leave them alone. Too, I don't know. Chris, and Chris was there too. Do you remember that?
I do remember.
And so, but what I wanted to get from that was really just accountability. Keeping yourself accountable, keeping your friends accountable to change this narrative. Like when you're hearing some stuff or you're seeing your brother, you know, at the club, you know, he got a girl and he's, you know, talking to this girl, whispering, flirting, going to a little too hard on the dance or whatever.
Tell them to chill out.
You know what I'm saying? You got a girl at home. You know what I'm saying? So speaking up, not being scared to say that. Or when you hear, you know, see your brother doing some stuff that's just ain't right, saying something. I think that's a good way to change the narrative as well. Learning how to communicate, I think is important. Love languages, practicing them, using them, I think are all good ways to change the narrative.
These are great points.
Those are what I could think of immediately.
No, we have to keep ourselves. Like, the accountability doesn't, you know, start with, of course, ourselves too.
Yeah.
But our friends or people around us, you know, and that comes with us as too growing, being, knowing ourselves.
Yeah.
That, you know, that if we see, you know, guys who are not our friends or anything who are, you know, because, you know, like I said, it's all harassment, right? Mm-hmm. Whenever we go out. You know, Evan, how many times have we gone out to, like, clubs and we've, you know, maybe earlier in our 20s or earlier when we had seen guys harassing women that we've seen, but we just pretended like we didn't know what was going on. And, you know, they reached a point where that, you know, we're like, nah, enough is enough. If if I see anything like that, especially people I know or friends, unacceptable.
And that comes with, like, growth, too, you know what I mean? Because, like, now it's like, before you were kind of the little guy, you know what I mean? So you couldn't really pipe up like that. But now it's like, oh yeah, come on, beat me. You know, like, it's like now you really have a voice. You know, it's like, and I feel like as a man, like being able to feel powerful, you feel me? Like really drives you to do like positive things.
Positive things,
Because those guys that were trying to, Chris and E had to basically just fight off like that, you know? They were older, right? Those are like dudes in their 30s.
I don't know what they look. Anyway, those, look like dudes where, you know, maybe had too much to drink and just, you know, were following them and so just harassing them.
Now it's a matter of like, you know, Brahma and Chris stepping up being like, that's not about to happen. You know? To these women right here.
And putting down your ego, man, and your pride. When someone's coming up and say, hey, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe, like, chill out, you know what I'm saying? Like, just take a step back and say, okay, maybe I should have been, you know, maybe I should have been chilled or, you know, and don't get all, leave me alone, and stuff like that. And I think knowing when to do that, I think is good as well. Man, that growth piece is, it's something that I'm going through and I know you two are going through as well. Especially maneuvering relationships.
Facts.
Very complex, and you know, and growth is our only way we can use as our, you know, that's a beacon, right? That's what we follow.
I have grown so much, man. If you guys met me in high school and versus now, like if you knew me in high school, you can't say you know me now. Like I'm a totally different woman just from like how I, you know, even just my self-confidence. Well, you can't see me, but, you know, recently, like I want to say a year ago, I cut off all my hair because I was kind of talking about earlier about learning to love myself. And so that was like my symbol. Well, that was the real reason why I cut off my hair and wear it natural is because I wanted to kind of show that, you know, I love myself. I love all of me and I love my hair. And hair is like another like issue and like, you know, especially with black women, you know, trying to fit into these European standards of beauty, and something I had to learn as well. But yeah, growth is really big.
And it's been cool to watch that growth journey too.
Yeah.
You know,
for little thanks. That I even know her, like it's been over 2 years, but yeah. I can say 100% Bella.
That journey's been
in
like
you, and you know, just, no, you know, and like I said, it's very admirable.
Oh, thank and, you guys.
Know,
and
that, definitely. And thank you just for just sharing that, you know, with us, yeah. telling us that, facts. You know, it's
the spiritual growth, like to say the least. And then like, just knowing like what you've been through as a person, you yeah. know, and then oh, having like the strength it. To get through all that, like, in my heart, like that's just like levels. You
thank
know what I mean?
Thank you. I'm trying. You know, and it's again another seed that you guys planted. One of your guests, was she the first? Kiki.
Kiki was our first guest.
Yeah, yeah. Was your first guest. Yeah. Man, I still replay. If you guys haven't heard that episode, you need
we
to.
We're gonna have
to
have Kiki back.
I don't yes, like you man. Do. Oh, wisdom, first of all.
That, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she has helped me so much in getting a mentor and someone that you can actually just talk to that's been through life and just speak to. You guys have definitely helped with that. If you haven't listened to that episode, I don't know what it's
season
called.
Season 1, episode 3.
You need to listen to that episode.
Kiki's dope, man.
Yeah, like, she is.
Shout out to Kiki. Yeah,
shout out to you, Kiki.
She has mentored a lot of us.
Yeah.
A lot of us, yeah. to say the least.
100%. 100%. Yeah,
but yeah, to kind of like paraphrase what you were just saying, I think that to change that narrative, definitely there has to be a lot of self-growth.
Yeah.
Growth within relationships,
mm-hmm.
and then growth just outside of ourselves
mm-hmm.
and like the community and stuff, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So when I see things like, have you heard of the FBMA?
FBMA.
It's the Faithful Black Male Association.
Oh, I... and if you cheat, what happens? You're kicked out.
You get out. Even the association of the boys, too. Yeah, I mean, you know, we don't accept.
We don't tolerate.
We don't accept infidelity. Good. And that.
But it's and you don't necessarily get kicked out, but you do go through reform,
yeah.
to say the least.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you're probably misguided at that point in your life. I know Charlemagne the God is a member.
Yeah,
and a big advocate.
Yes.
You know? So
he's. Very interesting.
He's polarizing.
Very polarizing.
Yeah, I read his book. He's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, building that sense of community and, uh-huh. and
community. You whew, know, I that's think a big one.
Another thing that it breeds is accountability.
Yes, which accountability is what you're
saying.
Again.
So when you got your brothers looking at you like, yo, don't drop the ball.
Yeah.
You better not drop the ball.
Right, exactly. You know? And I feel like a lot of these guys, they don't have that community. It's like your friends are doing it, you know? Who's going to really hold you?
Birds of the same flock together.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
If you're surrounded, you know, around friends that, you know, you guys are all doing the same shit.
Right.
We're more likely gonna do the same shit.
Right, but, exactly.
Know, but you know how it is. It's human nature.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm kind of doing some, you know, like messing around, but all your friends, your guy friends, they're serious. They're showing you, saying, trust me, you can, sooner or later, your mind will talk to you and be like, dude, get your.
Yeah, yeah.
At least if he really cares about you.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Yeah.
And it will come from self as well, too, because you're like, damn.
Yeah,
you
know? What am I doing?
At some point.
Yeah. At some point.
With, you know.
Yeah.
But I have a question, though.
Yes.
What do you think about, there's a lot of, like, mixed emotions I feel with this one.
Okay.
What do you feel about, like, black men, like, complimenting black women in the stranger sense, where it's like, say we didn't know each other and I see you walking down the street and I commented something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like there's a manner in which it should be done, which I think there is, and then what do you think about it overall?
Mm. Ooh, that's a good question.
Great question.
Honestly, it depends on the woman. I before did not like compliments because I was dealing with my own insecurities and things like that.
Yeah.
I definitely for sure believe that there is a way to do it. Now I accept all the compliments I work in downtown Seattle, and so when I'm walking, you know, random strangers tell me, hey, beautiful, and I'm just like, okay, like, hi, you know, and I keep in pushing. I don't think too much. Like, I'm not the type of girl that's like, oh, you know, rude about it, or because I do know some girls, like, you'll compliment them, and they'll be like, I have a boyfriend, or I have a man, or, you know, yeah, you know those type of women.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, maybe it comes from somewhere, so I don't know. I haven't done that before. I don't know where that maybe stems from. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, you know, I feel like, especially in this age, like, I like it. I like seeing those compliments. I love seeing men, especially, you know, towards Black women, compliment us on our hair, our skin, like, wow, you're really glowing today, you know, and things like that. Like, that's encouragement. That makes me feel good, you know, about myself.
Yeah. And you're saying there's a way to go about it.
Yeah, there is a way to go about it in a respectful way. Now, if you're coming at the side of your neck, if you're being a little disrespectful or commenting, I don't like comments on my body.
Objectifying.
Or, yeah, really, objectifying. Yeah. That's when I'm not.
Then you're playing the stereotype, the over-sexualization of Black women.
Black women, yes, I agree. So that, but I mean, you'll say it, but I mean, and I've heard it, and I'll just laugh and kind of keep walking by, and it doesn't feel good.
It's not a compliment.
No, it's not. It's really not. It's not a compliment. I feel like there is a respectful way to say it, and I encourage you, men, like, you know, especially when a woman has their natural hair out. Let me tell you, it's so hard. So when I get compliments on my natural hair, when I'm walking down the street, I love it. I'm like, yes, thank you. You know, because it's really hard to go out and step out of, you know, the wig, the weave, the braids. Not saying it's bad. I love my inches, but, you know, it's really hard. So I love it when I get those. I don't think it's bad. But I think it can be disrespectful.
And there is a way to go.
There is a way to go about it. Okay. Yeah.
I get what you mean.
Yeah. Have you gotten any from women that are like, oh, don't talk to me, I have a man, or anything like that? Or, well, why do you have mixed emotions about it?
To Ivan's point, I just don't do it because I don't want to come off as, you know.
Oh, that, like, you know, I like you.
Yeah, like, you know, I just feel like.
Are there women that think that?
There's a lot of women like that.
Oh, maybe, I'm just, interesting. Yeah,
but it's like so many women probably deem me like you're just flirting with them, or you know, it's that.
But how are you saying it, though?
Like, I just don't do it. Because that's just my thought. It's like, you know,
I feel like those are your fears that, oh, I'm going to come off. Mm-hmm. Like, why not share that compliment?
No, like, if you can go up to any woman and tell her, hey, you know, you look great today, or, you know, you can give them compliments, you know, that, you know, maybe the setting could be, because, you know, could play into place. But, you know, I don't know. I just be thinking, like, maybe it's in my head that, you know, they probably will think that I'm, you know,
flirting.
I understand that sentiment.
So I just don't do it.
With younger women especially.
Exactly.
When it's an older woman, like, for me, especially when I interact with older Black women, and older, I mean, like, 35 plus.
Right? Mm-hmm. 35?
What do you mean? Okay, no. 40 plus.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
No, I thought you meant, like, you only talk to, like, or do that with 35 and up.
No, I'm not saying I do that.
Oh, you're classifying older women as 40, 35 up, 40 up. Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm just saying, like, well, one, I don't, like, usually make comments like that.
Okay.
But if I do interact with a Black woman who's, like middle-aged or older.
Okay.
So that's why I'm saying, like, 35 or older.
Okay.
I feel more
comfortable,
yeah, if you will, making a comment like that, because it's like they know that I don't have any, like, alternative motives,
right?
And they're more likely to be like, yeah, like, thank you, I appreciate it, you know what I mean?
Has that happened to you before? Are those just fears? On is that, because it seems like you're like, it's like,
well, so for me, I say it from people, you know, when you see your friends, your guy friends, or, you know, that, you know, I would say personally, I haven't done it, but, like, what I haven't said, if it was an older woman, you know, that, you know, they'll probably say something nice to you, I'll give them, I'll feel very comfortable to give them a nice compliment as well back. But if it's someone around my age group or age, I tend to not do it.
Yeah.
Really?
Unless they're like your friend or you know them, you know. But if it's
a stranger,
if it's your friend, then it's different.
No problem. But if it's a stranger you don't completely know, okay. I just don't do it.
You know, there's that fear of
just
like
I don't want her thinking like, you know, even you if you don't say anything.
But even if she thinks it and so, like, you know you don't.
Then that's not that, then that's not what I was trying to prove. That's not why I was trying to compliment.
Yeah. Oh. Because it's important that that message gets across the right way.
Exactly.
We don't want to come through as like pushing the same narrative we're trying to kill. Mm. You get what I mean?
Mm.
So I don't know, it's hard to gauge. Mm-hmm. You know, with
I guess you just have to read the room with that one. Okay, see the type of
you kind of got to read the room.
Yeah. I guess I can see that, but I don't know. I can definitely hear you that it depends, because I know some females that are like,
ooh, like, I understand if it's at a club. Or, I understand. You know, I understand how females like it too.
Yeah.
I actually advocate it. Yeah, I understand. It's like, yeah, you know, it's because most guys, you know how they be there.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, so, at the club, like,
yeah, but like, if, like, you know what I mean? No, if I'm walking down the street or even at the store, I won't probably do it at the workplace because I could get, again, too, you know.
HR.
You know, I don't want HR. I want to end up on no ethics report. But, you know, so that's what I'm saying. It's like, well, I just think it's such a tricky thing. It's a fine line that I like to do, you would like to, you know, especially... We want to uplift, you know, especially black women. You want to uplift
because that's
them.
How I see it.
So it's like, you know, words of affirmation.
Yeah,
that
words
you would
of
like
affirmation.
To give black women, but it's like,
yeah. I will say I did have like a weird experience with that one time. I was like 20, mm-hmm. I think, and I was in like this 18 and up club. And like I seen this girl. And
it
was
definitely
like,
doesn't exist.
18
anymore.
And up club.
You saw her at the club, and you said what?
No, I just complimented her like on something. Okay. I don't even remember exactly what it was, but it was like empowering. Right?
Okay.
And this girl like looks at me, has the biggest smile on her face, but she kisses me on the cheek. Relax. And then she kisses me on the cheek and she's like, "Thank you so much." And then like runs off. And I'm like, "Okay, like
I like this."
It's not that I like it, but I was just confused. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I was coming from a place of like me. You know what I mean? I'm trying to like just let her know.
Yeah.
But then you know it was just different.
Yeah. It's hard. That one you definitely have to read the room, read the situation. Yeah,
I think you probably did.
Because if you're coming up to me in a club and you're a stranger talking about some, I like
good intention. I feel like it's at a club, any complimented woman is probably they just think, you know, like
I was
this
just
guy's
like,
hitting on me.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. The club, those areas, I just feel different. Like any compliment received, the woman will probably take it as he's hitting on me.
Madam, I will say though, like, I tried a little experiment. I was going up to black men and I was like, "Yo, brother, like you look good today, da da da." In the club, places like that, 100% like success rate.
Oh yeah.
Like seeing a way like men, like my brothers like smiling and shit, they're like, "Yo, like I appreciate it, bro.
Hey, good
like,
looks, bro.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, like we should be doing more of that, da da da." And I'm like, "Yeah, like."
The OGs do it to us, though.
The OGs do it.
The OGs do it to us a lot, you know?
You come in looking slick, they'll let you know.
They'll let you know.
Young,
like,
you know,
young brothers. It's like, wow, yeah.
I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever went up to a guy.
Haters, bro.
I don't think I've ever went up to a guy and said, "Oh, I like this or that." Maybe like I like your shoes. I don't know. I'm like used to be a sneakerhead, so
I think you still are.
Yeah, a little bit. Not as much as I used to be.
Yeah.
But I don't really do. That's interesting. I'm gonna try that experiment and see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Let us know. Think I'm... We'll be willing to hear that feedback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Post COVID, you know.
Okay. What about you? How do you feel about it? So you just don't do it?
Like what Ivan said, if it's an older woman, you know.
You're more inclined
to. You're more inclined to. But if it's, anyone around my age group, so women in
even
their
like
20s.
Even like, I like your hairstyle or I like your hair to a stranger.
Like I said,
that's shaky, bro. That's shaky.
I'm trying to think, like, that means he likes me. Like, what? That to me, that makes no sense.
That's to you, it might
That's
not.
To you, but, you know, like I said, it's, you know, I'm sure if we probably did it, like I said, maybe half will think it as just take it as what we intended. Yeah. Half probably wouldn't, but I just don't want my message coming off the wrong way.
Wrong way, yeah.
And just further pushing that narrative.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
yeah.
where it's like, I'm not trying to make you feel uncomfortable.
Or exactly. Mm-hmm. The world is already like tough enough for black women. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I don't want to make it add another complication.
True. Yeah.
That is true.
So it's like a fine line between empowerment and just pushing the same shit. You know what I mean? So that's what the question I wanted to ask you, brother.
Okay.
But yeah.
Pioneer of the daytime?
Pioneer of the day today is by way of Tanzania, East Africa. Julius Nyerere is the name.
How do you pronounce the last? How do you say the last name?
Nyerere.
Nyerere. Julius Nyerere.
Nyerere.
Okay.
Nyerere, yeah. Tanzanian leader. Was he their first president?
I don't know if he was their first president, but back then it was called Tanganyika. Tanganyika.
Yeah, because of Lake Tanganyika.
Yeah, so as Prime Minister, 1961, 1962, and then President, 63-64. So I guess, you know, you can say he's the first president of Tanzania.
Okay.
Maybe, probably. Yeah. I think it's safe to say.
Safe to say.
So coming from East Africa, you tell us, you know, what his figure is, you know,
I mean, society he was another
Africa as a whole.
One of those, just revered leaders, if you will. I know back then he was one of those original Pan-Africanists.
Yes.
And at the time, like, really had a strong hold of Tanzania, right? I mean, he, like, sent troops over into Uganda and whatnot. But he definitely earned his stripes back then. He's a well-respected East African historical figure. So if you do not know about Julius Nyerere, I think you guys should just look him up, you know. Another Pan-Africanist who was, you know, well respected back then, to say the least.
Yeah, these are, you know, him, the Lumumbas. There's a generation of Pan-Africanists gained independence for a lot of nations. And if it's crazy, right? What's interesting is, like, a lot of these leaders somehow met before they went on to, you know, become the first leaders of their country.
Mm-hmm.
If you go through, I think I can speak for West Africa, Kwame Nkrumah, Sadao Dejawara, few other leaders that became the
Mugabe
first.
Mugabe, I think, was there too.
Yeah, Mugabe. Yep, Mugabe. Mm-hmm. Few other leaders that, you know, became the first presidents of their nations. They had met sometime in college, or they were part of some sort of, like, African Student Association.
Yeah.
So think about how powerful they probably started off and just planned it and, you know, got empowered, meeting their own African brothers and said, look, we're going to go and liberate our countries and gain independence from the colonialists. And they did it. So it's really amazing if you look at the story.
It's kind of crazy.
It's a whole generation.
It'd be like if me and you just go and start, you know, leading the nation.
So all of a sudden, like, you know. Oh,
Cameroonian leader, Bella Anabon.
Like, oh, yeah, we used to chill back then. Yeah, we used to talk about this all the time. So, yeah.
Know, it's cool to, like, think
this
that.
This is how our nations gained independence from young, young men in their 20s, sitting down, you know, patriots, you know, love for their people. That they met across trying to get their education, they met across and, you know, felt empowered and decided they're gonna, you know, sacrifice or do everything for the liberation of their countries.
Mm-hmm.
So we would like to highlight them, and Julius Nyerere is one of them.
It's our job to make sure that that candle keeps burning and their legacies are not forgotten, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Julius Nyerere from Tanzania, that was our pioneer of the day. Any closing thoughts from your side, Bella?
Yes.
I did want to say really quickly, thank you again so much for having me today. I am again honored to be a part of one of the episodes of this podcast. I love the topic. I love hearing you guys' perspective. I have a lot to think about and talk about with my girls.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I like that the conversation still continues. And then, that's it. And I love your pioneer of the. I've learned so much, like learned more than the U.S. School system has ever taught me.
Even Africa's two student school systems, you know.
Really?
Yeah. They teach me about Kwame Nkrumah and all these, especially East Africa, growing primary school in Gambia. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear none of that. So, in our school systems back home, too.
Yeah. Keep it up, guys. Guys are great.
We can. We should. Yeah. And, you know, remember, though, we need to keep pushing to arrest the cops who killed Breonna Taylor.
Yeah. That's facts.
And vote.
And vote.
And I hope y'all voted in the primary.
In the primaries as well. You know.
But yeah, thank you, Bella, for joining
us. Thank you.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure having you. This has been episode 7. And we're looking forward to episode 8.
We're about to finish this season strong.
Very strong.
Yes. Stay tuned.
Love to you guys. Stay safe.
Bye.